42. When the Titanic was sinking, the band continued to play. Everyone had heard that story. But often, Katie wondered why. Denial? Duty? Or simply the need to focus on something familiar and comforting when all else was lost? When the worst had happened. She felt a bit like she was playing on the Titanic this morning. Or fiddling while Rome burned. Doing all the normal things when nothing about this was normal at all. She poured out cornflakes, splashed milk into bowls, buttered toast and poured glasses of orange juice. She made a cup of tea, then settled Sam and Gracie in front of the TV in the living room, while she searched in the tumble dryer for missing school cardigans and socks. All the while trying to ignore the voice inside her head that kept screaming, "Iceberg! Iceberg! Have you seen me? I think it's you." Alice, she wasn't ready to answer to Izzy, was still in bed. It had been gone 11 p.m. by the time Katie had wearily tucked her in. She had absorbed the revelation calmly, worryingly so. Despite Katie's best efforts to coax more out of her, Alice claimed not to remember anything about the night her mum died. Just that it was something bad. Fran had saved her. She repeated it like a mantra, like she had learnt it off by heart. But Katie wasn't so sure. It was true that most children, once they reached 8 or 9, would forget events from their earliest years. Childhood amnesia. Something to do with how fast the brain is growing and laying down new neural pathways. But if Katie was right and Alice was who she thought she was, she would have just turned 5 when her mother was murdered. Old enough to summon up some memories. Even if her brain had done its own whitewash job to protect her from the trauma. Memories didn't just evaporate like steam. They were more like lost keys. You might have put them somewhere for safekeeping, or thrown them into a deep well because you didn't ever want to unlock that particular door again. But they were still there, somewhere. You just had to find a way to retrieve them. Her first instinct had been to call Gabe. He deserved to know that his daughter was alive, that he had been right all along. And if Alice saw her daddy, maybe some of those memories of her former life would come back to her. But then, Katie had caught herself. Gabe might still be in hospital, and Alice needed rest. She needed time to let this settle. If Gabe insisted on seeing her straight away, which he would, it could all be too much for both of them. Besides, Katie wanted to be sure. She didn't want to get the poor man's hopes up just to dash them again. After she had put Alice to bed, she spent several hours scouring the internet for information about the murders. 3 years ago, so the girl's age was right. It had been all over the television and newspapers at the time. No one had ever been caught and there seemed to be no motive, certainly not after Gabe was absolved. No robbery, no sign of forced entry. Like the killer had just been invited in. And maybe she had, Katie thought. After all, who would feel threatened by a woman with a child? She felt a coldness steal in and wrap itself around her heart. What was she suggesting? That Fran was somehow involved. But what about her daughter? If Alice was telling the truth, she'd been killed too. Katie refused to believe that Fran would let her own child come to harm. So, what was the alternative? Was Fran just in the wrong place at the wrong time? Or was the answer somewhere in between? Was she an accomplice, drawn into a situation that spiraled out of control, where the only option left was to save one child and run? But from who? She thought about the postcard again. "I did it for Dad." Katie picked up her mug of tea and took a sip. Predictably, it had gone cold. Sometimes it seems like her entire life was measured out in undrunk mugs of tea. She was just about to pour it away and make another, when the front doorbell rang. She jumped. Christ, her nerves were shot this morning. She walked into the hall. Through the glass at the top of the door, she could see what looked like the fluorescent jacket of a police officer. Fran. Had they found her? She pulled the door open.
All right, Katie.
It took her a moment. She had only met her sister's boyfriend a handful of times, and while she was aware of his job, she had never seen him in uniform.
Steve, what are you doing here?
Didn't get you out of bed, did I? He smiled. Katie had the urge to pull her dressing gown a little bit tighter around her body.
Actually, I was just getting breakfast.
Right.
Can I come in?
She hesitated. Gracie and Sam were still ensconced in front of the TV. Alice was upstairs asleep. But if she came down...
It's important.
Reluctantly, she nodded.
Okay.
She led him into the kitchen, even as something worried at the back of her mind.
How did he know her address?
She supposed he was a police officer. But there was something else. Something niggling. She closed the kitchen door and turned to face him, forcing a smile.
So, can you tell me what this is about?
He looked around.
Aren't you going to offer me a cuppa?
She fought down her natural instinct to be polite.
I have to get the kids to school. You said it was important.
His face immediately darkened. She thought about Lou, her poor choices, how a uniform was no indicator of character.
It's about your sister, Fran.
She stiffened.
What do you know about my sister?
I know she's got herself into trouble and she's going to get you into trouble too.
I haven't seen my sister in 9 years.
Where's the girl, Katie? A jolt of fear shot through her. How the hell did he know about Alice? What was this?
Sorry?
If you're hiding her, you're obstructing justice. She tried to keep her voice steady.
I thought you worked in traffic, not missing persons.
I know she's here. Just fetch the girl, and we'll all be sweet. And suddenly she remembered what else was bothering her. Yesterday, Steve had said he had 2 days off. But here he was, in uniform.
Iceberg. Iceberg. Are you even on duty?
He sighed, held out his hands.
You're right. This isn't police business.
Call it
debt collection.
Your sister owes, and it's time to pay.
I'd like you to leave, please.
Fine. He smiled and punched her in the face. Her nose exploded with an agonizing crack. She tried to scream, but her throat was full of blood. She gurgled and staggered backwards. He caught her before she could hit the floor, pushing her against the sink.
Nothing personal. Just earning a little overtime.
She forced out the words.
Who? Oh, I think you know.
He whispered the name in her ear, his lips brushing her skin. Terror squeezed her insides.
What about Lou?
A sneer.
That fat slag sister of yours. She was business, not pleasure. Keeping tabs.
He wrapped his hands around her throat and squeezed. She tried to scream, to draw in breath, but her nose was a mushy mess and her throat was half choked. Faintly, from the living room, she could hear the Scooby-Doo theme.
Oh God, what if the children came in here? What if he hurt them?
She grabbed for his face, scratching at his skin with her nails.
He squeezed her throat harder.
She kicked and writhed, trying to throw him off, but he was too strong. He pressed his face into hers.
I'd rather it had been you. If I had more time, we could make this a lot of fun.
Out of the corner of her eye, she saw a flicker of movement. The door opened. Alice stepped into the kitchen.
No,
Katie thought.
No, don't come in here. Get away. Run. Get Sam and Gracie and run.
But Alice didn't run. She moved forward and swung something over her head. There was a rattling sound, a heavy thud, and the pressure on Katie's throat was released. She gasped for air. Steve staggered to one side, toppling into the table and chairs. Before he could recover, Alice raised the rucksack and swung it again. It connected with his skull with a satisfying crunch. This time,
He slumped heavily to the floor, out cold. Christ. Alice had just assaulted a police officer. A police officer who was trying to kill you. If she hadn't been scared and in so much pain, Katie would have laughed at the sheer insanity of it. She dragged in a couple more rasping breaths. Alice stood, still clutching the rucksack, as though debating whether to use it again. Katie forced her trembling legs to walk over to her and wrapped an arm around her thin shoulders.
What have you got in there?
She croaked.
Rocks?
Alice shook her head.
Pebbles?
Of course.
Mom? What's happened?
She turned. Sam stood in the kitchen doorway with Gracie. They stared at her in horror. Gracie started to sob.
Mommy, your face!
Katie hurried over and hugged them.
It's okay. It's okay.
Why is Uncle Steve on the floor?
She glanced back at Steve. The blow had knocked him out, but she couldn't see any blood. On one hand, that was probably good. Murdering a police officer was something else. On the other hand, he was going to wake up. We could make this a lot of fun.
I'll explain later. Right now, I want you to get your shoes and coats on. We need to leave. Now!